This is a recording from the first degrowth conference in North America, held in Vancouver, Canada, from April 29th to May 1st, 2010. Each speaker is introduced by author Rex Wehler.
Ladies and gentlemen, without the aid of modern technology, someone who is really active in this community, working to preserve the ancient forests of British Columbia, someone you may know about, but you'll know about now. He's doing fantastic work, important work, Kin Wu.
Great. So thanks for having me here. I had no idea this is going to be such a significant conference here. I must admit I was, you know, pretty busy for a while, and, you know, Conrad had asked me to speak at this event. I thought maybe he'd be, like, riding around naked on a bike or something. I didn't know, like, what was the basis of this. So I looked at the website today and read into it. And I guess this is the follow-up of a big one in Barcelona, prior to that in Paris as well. So I was asked to talk about the significance of the ancient forest movement as it relates to the degrowth movement as well. So three things came to mind for me. If you could see the slides, but I will try to describe to you how beautiful the areas are per se, or do interpretive dance of the marble murrelet or whatever. But there's some phenomenal species and ecosystems there. And one of the first things that comes to mind for me about of why the ancient forest movement is significant for a degrowth movement is because, like all campaigns for native ecosystems and species, it helps to transmit a sense of humility for people. The concerns that people have about sustainability will be at different levels. And if our only concern was to ensure that there was an equitable distribution of wealth and enough wealth so that people can survive at a moderate standard of living and of obviously high quality of life, then there would be, actually be not necessarily any reason to scale back nearly as much as we need to when you consider what's needed for biodiversity. The thresholds for sustainability is significantly higher when you're considering sharing the planet with things like marbled murrelets or spotted owls or 1,000-year-old cedar trees, rhinos, gorillas, elephants, the whole variety of species. So the ancient forest movement is fundamentally one that allows us to broaden our perspective to of caring to things beyond ourselves, and it raises the stakes on, you know, how far we have to go for sustainability if we're going to keep all the creatures on the planet surviving, all the native species as opposed to just one of them and our resources. How many people here saw the movie Avatar, by the way? Yeah, it's a pretty cool movie, I thought. Like, I'm a bit of a nerd, a science fiction geek. But I thought that there was a real a message in there that really resonated with me. And what I saw in the news afterwards is that you had a whole lot of people who were going through so-called post-Avatar depression. After they saw this movie in 3D of the incredible alien rainforest and weird biodiversity of the planet Pandora, then they came back to their drab earthly lives, and Earth is not was not so incredible to them, and so they became depressed. And when I heard that, I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? You know what lives on this planet? If you really think about how awesome planet Earth is, it's all that we need. On Vancouver Island, we've got a campaign to protect our ancient forests, and some of the trees there are literally over 20 feet wide, 7 meters in diameter. Like, from me to pass that screen is how fat some of the trees are. They're as big as home tree on Pandora. We've got in our old-growth forests a Roosevelt elk, a huge, huge elk on Vancouver Island, black bears, grizzly bears on the mainland, wolves, cougars. We used to have a Vancouver Island wolverine, might still be around. Maybe a few Sasquatch too. And in the oceans, just off of the coast of Victoria now, we've got elephant seals coming back. Orcas that kill and eat giant sea lions and elephant seals. Blue whales are coming back. So, for me, it's important to recognize that the campaigns for sustainability have to factor in caring about things beyond yourselves. And any movement around biodiversity, native ecosystems, and the biggest one in the country is around saving ancient forests in terms of public participation, is the ancient forest movement. So that's one of my one of the things that I think is important. Because to me, what is What is bad in the world is essentially selfishness and ignorance. And what's good in the world is caring for things beyond yourself and extending the caring not just to humanity but to other species and ecosystems. That's what's good in the world, and learning about other things. Another important part of the ancient forest movement is that it is fundamentally structured around the need to constrain human activities through regulations and laws. Much as there's a lot of push by the environmental movement for voluntary simplicity and voluntary measures, and those are important things, it's not enough. You actually have to have the state, the government, involved in restructuring society and making laws. Even if we have another 5 million Canadians deciding to switch to recycled paper or tree-free paper, we're still going to have the old-growth forest logged on Vancouver Island when we're dealing with these massive markets of a billion people. In time-constrained circumstances, you have to have actual lines on a map that the government puts there saying these are no-go zones. And the constraints created by regulations and laws also help to force changes in human behavior. In previous generations, a lot of the constraints were as a result of technology's inability to extract resources on the scale that was needed, or certainly distribution, maldistribution, which still occurs today. But in coming up now, we know through peak oil and through looking at what's happening to resources, a big constraint is the depletion of resources. But instead of going to that route, we actually have to put constraints ourselves through laws so that we still keep a lot of the things that make life on planet Earth worthwhile. So the ancient forest movement also is an important part of constraining what we can or can't do. And I'd like to really work to politicize the environmental movement a lot more, because it's going to be through politics that we also create not only the constraints but the enabling conditions for a cultural shift. Because ultimately, if we want degrowth and we want people to have us, move towards voluntary simplicity instead of battling us every time there's something like a carbon tax, and you get a massive reaction whipped up by certain opportunistic politicians, there is an absolute need for a cultural shift, and that is facilitated by the state doing things like creating more livable cities, for example, in zoning bylaws, so that it's not all based on suburbs where people just drive around and watch TV. Their only interactions with others is at work or watching TV, which is not others. To the extent there's greater economic, there's greater certainty in people's lives or stability through publicly funded, post-secondary education, through healthcare, through a social safety net, that also relieves a lot of the tendencies towards the me type of thinking when you know you're more or less taken care of. So there's a lot of different things, and it all involves laws and regulations. And a third part of why the ancient forest movement is really important around the degrowth efforts is for the simple reason that the movements, when they start to move on a large scale, are how you piggyback a lot of these bigger messages into the population. So, in Victoria, we can turn out thousands of people on the streets for rallies. And in fact, this coming fall, our goal is to turn out 10,000 people for a big rally in Victoria. The goal is to make it the biggest environmental rally in Canada's history. We're aiming for October. And our last big one was about 3,000 people. I figure we can pull this off if we start organizing this now. The Ancient Forest Alliance, which is the organization I'm working with now, is no longer constrained by charitable status, which means we can get a lot more political. We can also organize in swing ridings. We can do a lot more things. And plus, I want to bring in broader messages in our efforts, as opposed to just protecting this particular valley. There does have to be a cultural shift, and these big movements that involve a lot of people are one of the ways that you start to get those messages in, about caring about other species, about the need for real regulations and laws, about the need for finding happiness or gratitude with what you already have and within yourself instead of wanting more and more. The problems of ego and greed, essentially. There's a variety of sort of things you can bring in through these real movements. We're planning to have a lot of campaign activities in order to build up the ancient forest movement and to pervade these sort of ideas through the movement, which then spreads through portions of the population. So Yeah, one exciting thing is, I just want to make a little plug here. If you want to get involved to see the old growth forest, we found a grove, which we call the Avatar Grove. After I saw Avatar, I thought, well, you know, we're going to latch onto this. And we've invited James Cameron to see it. It's near Port Renfrew. It's one of the most spectacular stands of old growth red cedar and Douglas fir. It includes Canada's gnarliest tree. If you want to come see that, come sign up for my email list. And we're also going to have many days of action. We're going to have a lot of protests in front of BC Liberal MLA offices in swing ridings. So the elections are won and lost based on typically about 10 ridings. And we will have ancient forest committees in those swing ridings, whereas previously it felt like we were sort of throwing marshmallows at the BC Liberals' biceps. Take this, take that. Now we can go straight for their most sensitive parts, their swing ridings, and squeeze them really hard in their swing ridings. So if you want to take part in that, come to the ancient, come sign up here for the Ancient Forest Alliance.
That was Speaker Ken Wu, introduced by Rex Whaler. This recording comes from the first degrowth conference in North America, held in Vancouver, Canada, from April 29th to May 1st, 2010. Find more audio on the Economic Crisis page in the Audio On Demand menu at ecoshock.org. Find out more about this conference at www.d-growth.com/Vancouver.